Many years ago, in the small town of Evermore, the people were bustling about because of some grand news spreading throughout.
Excuse me, sir. What is all this bustling about?
We have good news that's getting everyone excited.
What news is that?
Here, take a look for yourself.
A king is coming. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a king is born? A king that will save us all? I wonder who he is and how he's going to save us all. I didn't even know he was going to marry, even needing to be rescued. I lived a fine and dandy life. Mr. Mayor, did you know about this?
Well, I'll be. If the king is coming, then we should call this day something special. Now, let's see. We should maybe call it K-D-A-E-M, Kind Day and Evermore.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, not to be critical, but that sounds a little like a radio station.
You might be right. I'll have to get with the town council. The hardware store owner and I will choose a name for this special day and have the town to vote on it.
Why? We never voted on a single thing in this town. But when it comes to who's going to be the new Miss Evermore, let's just say they'll come running to the polls.
Thank you.
Gathered around all, through much deliberation, the town council and its people have declared this day to be called Christmas Day.
Yay!
Let's have a celebration and bring the king presents of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Strike up the band and adore the town and be joyful.
Celebrate for what? I'm going home. I got chores to do. I don't have time for this nonsense. So the town got everyone together and decided to decorate the fir trees, covering them with beautiful ornaments and lights. Two young boys were especially excited, bringing out their drums to play a song for the new king. Many understood that this was a king from heaven and that he was God's son. But there was one girl in town that wasn't sure what all the hoopla was about. She didn't know who God was or understand why she needed a king to save her. Soon she would find out and realize that there was more to life than just working and feeling happy with the way things are. Boy, all this nonsense is making me hard for me to do my work. I better go tell him to keep it down.
Yes, what can I do for you, miss?
Can you tell everybody to keep it down? Please?
They're celebrating, ma'am. The king is here and he's amazing. A beautiful baby boy.
A baby for a king? Like a baby can be a king.
The girl kept wondering as she walked back home, and she started noticing how happy everyone was but her. When home, she read all the stories in the newspaper and in a book she owned, which happened to be about a new baby king.
Thank you.
after reading about the new baby boy, King Jesus. The lost girl was now found, and she went back to town to speak to the mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to thank you for giving us a perfect day. Named like Christmas, I realize now that the baby boy king is now our Christ, and he has a special gift for us.
That's right, little Missy. Now, what's your name again?
You know, I've been in this play from the beginning. I still don't have a name.
Well, God knows your name. Now that you believe, you have become a child of God. You've been working so hard, and now it's time for you to rest. Let Jesus help you with all your needs to be done, and he will be your happiness now. Rejoice with us and praise the new baby Jesus.
That's the best part of this story.
It's the best part of our posters, too. It's not just who he was and is. It's why and how he came that takes away all the scariness.
In the book of Luke, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger."
This, I declare, this news will be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Our King will always be the King. I wonder if he will want to be part of the town council. There is only two of us, and we could use another guy. Well, maybe when he's older.
And in the town of Evermore, the town folk were full of joy. The audience clapped as the town began to celebrate while rejoicing in song.
Yeah. That's a tough act to follow. Just out of curiosity, if you are a parent or a grandparent or a significant other of one of those children, would you just stand for a minute? I want to give you a round of applause. You guys are... Thank you. Thank you. I have 8 children. I know what you're going through. Let me just pause and I want to talk to the Lord for a minute and then close our time together. While we're here, by the way, don't worry about your children. They're having a wild party in the kid zone. We will get them all sugared up and then give them back to you. Loving Father, I thank you so much for this morning and for this season. It's an annual reminder, Lord, for us. And while we have done a lot of things in our society in modern times that have caused us to cloud or obscure the message of Jesus, Father, we keep coming back to it. It's one of those stories that just won't go away. It's a story that seems compelling. It's wonderful. It's at the same time very confusing and beyond our ability to understand. And yet, Lord, it is wonderful, and especially wonderful in where it leads. This morning, Lord, we want to reflect on that for just a minute, and I ask that you'll guide us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite Christmas carols, and probably yours too, "Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. Little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." It's a beautiful picture. It has a lot of echoes in it of different things, but I always think of that. It's such a beautiful song for children. They love it. It's the mystery of the night and the manger in the night. But this morning, we've been focusing on Jesus is King. How do you greet a king? We don't have royalty here in America. I mean, literally, we don't have a king or a queen. But in countries that do have kings and queen, they're treated with respect and with honor. A website that explains to Americans who are traveling the way that they are supposed to. Excuse me just a minute. This is just confounding me a little bit. There's a website, anyway, that talks about how you're supposed to greet royalty. And in England, for example, if you greet the Queen, or if somebody you'll never get to, but somebody who would... greet the Queen, you would say to them, "Your Majesty." Everybody else in the family would be "Your Royal Highness." And men are supposed to bow from the neck, not from the waist, just from the neck. And women are supposed to do a little curtsy. And this is just etiquette. It's a proper way to show respect. Years ago, I spent a couple of summers in Saudi Arabia. King Fahd Ibn Abdul Aziz Al Saud, he had a long name. He was king at the time, and he would be on the news virtually every day. And you would see him in regal splendor. There was a lot of gold in the walls and in the decorations around him, a lot of wealth. He was always accompanied by handlers and people who were helping him and guiding him everywhere he went. Here in America, I know that we don't have royalty per se, but we do have our royalty. We have like rock stars and movie stars and sports heroes, the rich and shameless, or famous, one of the two. And our treatment of them is not that much different, really. It's in a different context, but in the late night TV shows, we shower them with adulation and adoration. And millions of young people model their lives after this or that hero. And in a sense, I guess we could say that Jesus was met the way that a king should be met. Now, I realize the site of his birth, the stable, that doesn't fit. That's hardly kingly. But how many babies have their birth announced by angels? I think that's pretty rare. How many babies have wise men, magi, travel from hundreds of miles away to bring them expensive gifts and to worship? Again, I would say not many. That would be royal. But then again, if you look at the rest of the surrounding events in Jesus' life, it's not real kingly. People weren't terribly embracing of Jesus. The reigning king of Israel was a man named Herod, and Herod wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't an Israelite. He was an Idumean. He was from Edom. He was a foreigner. He'd been put in power. And he was phobic to the max of anybody else who might be a true king of Israel. And so when it came to his attention that a king of Israel had been born, he found out where that was. And the king of the Jews could not be allowed to survive, and therefore he sent his soldiers and had all the babies in Bethlehem slaughtered. And had not an angel actually warned Joseph and Mary, and they had fled to Egypt, Herod would have killed the baby Jesus. And then if you really look close and think about the Christmas story, what you realize is that all of the respect and all of the worship that Jesus received actually came as a direct result of God's intervention. Those angels, they didn't come from earth. They weren't sent from some earthly delegation. They came from heaven. The wise men followed a star that shone and that revealed to them in a miraculous way that a royal baby had been born. And only God is able to play around with the stars. And then you think of this, that Jesus, when he was born, was not just king. Yes, he was born king of the Jews. And as worthy as that is of praise, he was much more. He was God himself, deity in human flesh, offspring not of a man, born of a virgin. These are things that no human can explain. We can say them, but to try to describe them goes beyond our ability. As Jesus lay in that manger, he looked up and he would see stars, and he was the creator of the universe. The stars in the sky that looked down as he lay were the finger work that he had put in place. And that makes it even more startling when in the Bible we read these words. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to a world he had created, and those who were in the world that he created, they didn't know him. And then he came to his own, that's his own people, the chosen people. He came to Israel, and those who were his own did not receive him. I guess Paul Harvey would say the rest of the story, and you know the rest of the story, is that the babe of Christmas grew up to be the Lamb of God. And the Lamb was a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who gave his life for the sins of the world. All those who were in Israel who rejected him and his first coming. All those in the world who did not know him in his first coming, all of them became the objects of that baby's sacrificial love for them. His perfect sacrifice paid the penalty for my sin and for yours. What none of us could ever earn, He would freely give. Indeed, in a sense, we might say that was the first Christmas present, forgiveness of sin. But there's more. Paul Harvey is still saying the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And in that way, He was able to provide a way for all who believe in Him to live with Him forever. You see, He didn't stay dead paying the penalty of sin. He rose from the dead, and therefore He's alive today and able to give the gift of eternal life. And that is the gift of God. And then He left this earth and went back to heaven with the promise that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, and I will come in the same way that you saw me go. And that is the immeasurable gift of God through Jesus that we receive by faith. You know, just after John wrote those words I read just a minute ago, when he said that he was in the world and the world didn't know him, he came to his own and his own did not receive him, he then wrote these famous words, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." You know, I think we have a pretty high view of ourselves today. I think you and I sometimes think that those people who were living when Jesus was on earth were pretty dumb. How on earth could they not pick it up? The signs were all there. All those miracles, that wonderful teaching that He did. Oh, I wish we had been alive then. Are we any smarter? After 2,000 years, evidence of millions of changed lives, the evidence of history, do we give the King our worship? Do we recognize who really came? Who is in us? You know, there's a famous story, true story, of the German composer and musician Felix Mendelssohn. He is rightly viewed as one of the great composers and musicians in history. And once when he was traveling, he visited the great Freiburg Cathedral. Now, this was in the early 19th century, the 1800s, and this cathedral had built in it what is to this day one of the greatest organs in the world. It had been built there, actually, in the 18th century, the 1700s, and so it was well known. Mendelssohn entered this beautiful, great cathedral. And the steward of the organ was there, an organist, a very good organist, and Mendelssohn asked if he could play the organ. And the man said no. Mendelssohn begged. The man kept saying, no, this is a famous organ. No one can play this except those who are qualified. But he begged and he pleaded, and finally the man said, oh, okay, just for a moment. Mendelssohn sat at the keyboard, began to play. The organist listened for a minute and then looked at the young man playing the organ. And he listened to the most beautiful strains he had ever heard, chord progressions that were so rich. When there was a break in the music, he said, "Excuse me. What is your name?" And as soon as Felix Mendelssohn identified who he was, the man exclaimed, "How could I have refused the great Mendelssohn permission to play my organ. That cathedral organist didn't realize who was in his cathedral. And I wonder if sometimes we just don't wonder, don't think, and aren't amazed at who was born and who is in our midst. And if I can borrow from that illustration, in our midst, the Son of God, the King of Israel, who wants to make beautiful music in our lives. Just think of it. The omnipotent, perfect Creator. The one who spoke the universe into existence. Who becomes a man. But he's born as a babe, and it seems so disarming. Well, after all, it's only a baby. We can put that in the creche in the front yard and then go shopping. Do you realize who he is? He wants to have control of your life at all times. You know, I don't know. This is now total conjecture. I don't know what song Mendelssohn played that day when he sat down at the organ and totally floored the cathedral organist. But it might have been a melody that we all know very well. Indeed, a melody we've already sung this morning. For a melody that was written by Felix Mendelssohn was put together with words written a century before by somebody you may have heard of, Charles Wesley. A poem that Charles Wesley called For Christmas Day. And the words and the music have gone together so beautifully that we can't think of one without the other. But they say something we should never forget. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings, mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Jesus is King indeed. We heard it in a cute way this morning, but the truth is right there in the title. Jesus is King yesterday, today, and forever. Is He your King? Let's pray. My loving Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the story of Christmas. Thank You for the way that You have carved in our history the wonderful love and grace that You have, rescuing mankind, each one of us, worthy of separation from You, but instead, because You sent Your Son, we too can be saved and live forever. So, Lord, this Christmas season we sing, as it were, with the angels, glory to the newborn King. In Jesus' name.